May my words, your words only be spoken, O Lord, and your words only be received. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Advent is a back-to-basics kind of a season, and it relates, especially in the music and the readings, to our captivity, and our captivity to what? To sin, to selfishness, to the works of darkness. And so it's appropriate this time of year when at 4:10 you can't see the hand in front of you. So it's a time of earth renewing its strength, gathering its strength under the sight of under the snow, so that even though it's out of sight, it may produce something glorious in the spring. So we hear this iconic hymn for Advent, Veni Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel. And there is a cry in there, O come, Emmanuel. It is a yearning. It's a sincere request for help. So it is a cry of the heart, we can say. The problem with it, with what we see in the news around us and within ourselves, is not that one that we can solve by ourselves. So it says, captive Israel. So we are captive, held for a ransom, exiled and lonely in a darkened landscape. But the hostages in Israel are very real today. They are flesh and blood hostages. And so we look for ways to eliminate the kind of evil that we have seen before. But I want to ask you, does it seem that we're making any progress? Two steps back, or forward, is it, and one step back, or is it the other way around? So progressivism, the idea that we can make things better on our own, is the real enemy of Christianity. There is no meeting of the minds in trying to holding on to the idea that if we just try harder, things will get better. How can I save myself? And we know ourselves when we look into our hearts that there's a lot of darkness there in our hearts. But are these the sort of problems I could just solve if I tried harder? Not really. Do we really need just more wise teachers? Do we need folks who write more self-help books? And we can make a better way, a better start of it this coming year. Kierkegaard, the Protestant theologian, says, we don't need more teachers. We don't need a teacher. We need a savior. We need a power from outside ourselves. And one of the collects for Lent says, Almighty God, you know we have no power to help within ourselves to help ourselves. Send your Holy Spirit to us. Now, you might say, well, it's more comfortable for me just to keep trying harder. I know I haven't done my best, but I can still do something. The message of Advent tries to pull that rug out from that excuse to say, you may try harder, you may do better, but it's nowhere near where things ought to be. And so we are caught in this this period of waiting, and hopefully we're caught in this period of waiting. If we don't experience the darkness now, if we don't put ourselves in the spiritual space of waiting and yearning for something more that comes from beyond us, then we won't appreciate Christmas when it comes at all. That will seem just like another, what's that company that makes cards? Hallmark greeting card for the season. So we need a grace from outside. It's like we have an addiction, and all sinfulness is an addiction to, can be explained as an addiction. And so we have today within our church meetings, and all week long, meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And those of us who know what that is wish that the church could be more like Alcoholics Anonymous. We ought to trade spaces with them. We'll bring them up here and we'll go downstairs where they are. All sin is a form of addiction. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous recognize that. And they start out by saying, I'm John, I am an alcoholic. And everyone says, hi, John. They accept that person with all the messy darkness within. So the first step is of the 12 is to admit your powerlessness and then turn your life over to a higher power. Alcoholics Anonymous seems to work. We can say that we've seen situations where there are dysfunctional families all around us, maybe right across the street. We say, when we talk to the, an English person, I said, well, I was in this mental health program and to deal with dysfunctional families. And he said, well, he said, what you in America call dysfunctional family, we just call family. I don't know if that's something you got a taste of at Thanksgiving dinner or not, I hope not. There was a situation in came out of the work that I did, that we did at St. Francis Academy, of one of our benefactors being across the street from a family whose young son was a was their paper boy. So they knew each other in passing, but there would always be a row going on in that house next door. And finally, the father, knowing the family and knowing the son, said to his parents and to him, wouldn't you like Stephen to spend time in our family, be a part of our family also? And they said yes. And that was the beginning of a scene of redemption in the life of this young man. So he comes down, God does, in the middle of the darkness and is there with us like a light in the world. The basic posture we must take is of one of waiting in the darkness, not for us to dream up something else we should do, but instead to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to be with Christ in the darkness. Hello, darkness, my old friend, that wonderful song by Simon and Garfunkel. It is a friend to just linger in darkness. Have you ever been to one of those spas where they just have some music playing and you're floating in the water and there is a canopy over you and it's sheer darkness inside? And you're supposed to lay there and that's supposed to rejuvenate you, and it does. Lo and behold, it does. It teaches you to be trusting in the water that you can still float. So in this time of darkness in our spiritual lives, we can trust in the Spirit to lead us to better places. If we do this, we have to ask what we are doing it for. Why are we waiting for God? What would we expect that it might happen if we were to wait? One situation is that we could ask God, what do you want me to do today? That would be probably the last on the list, but the second would be, what would you want me to be today? What do you want me to say today, and where, and to whom? And so we put ourselves at the disposal of the Spirit. We are then more realistic than anyone about solving problems within us and in the world today as we know it. We take that time to acknowledge our captivity, that we are in darkness and we need not a teacher, but a savior. And we walk in the light when it finally comes, but not before. I just have to say, I saw an Advent tree. It's on a huge tree, as tall as this building, like the one in Rockefeller Center. So, in a square in a town in Europe, in a town square of a city there, and I thought, wow, that's great. Maybe we should do that instead of a Christmas tree. My wife did not go along with that at all, but I grew up waiting until Christmas Eve to put the tree up and decorating the tree. And we didn't get presents until the next morning. When I saw my other friends, I was much jealous. They had gotten their presents a week early, one a day up to Christmas, starting back a week before. So we wait, and when we do, it feels good to be waiting to experience Christmas in a new and different way, which we can do as we surrender our lives to our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us affirm our faith in the words of the ancient creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,